In the name of Jesus, in the waters of the Jordan River, the Father's voice booms with such acceptance and approval and affirmation. You are my beloved Son. I'm well pleased with you. The Father can't contain his joy. So tickled, so delighted in the Son who is dunked and drenched. Happy Baptism Day, Jesus! What certainty our Lord has from now on. He doesn't have to question, who he is or what his job description is. It's all wrapped up in his baptism, which you just heard read a moment ago, Luke 3, verses 21 and 22. Now, when all the people were baptized, and when Jesus also had been baptized and was praying, the heavens were opened, and the Holy Spirit descended on him in bodily form like a dove. And a voice came from heaven, "You are my beloved Son. With you, I'm well pleased." What an amazing scene, isn't it? The paradise pearly swung wide open. The macho angel relieved of his guard duty. The flaming sword extinguished. The welcome home mat put out in front of the Father's house. And now Jesus is leading the way home. We know this because of the words he spoke to that contrite criminal from the cross, right? Luke 23:43. "Truly I say to you, today you will be with me in paradise." This is his mission. The Holy Spirit descends on Jesus to make it crystal clear that Jesus is divinely authorized and energized to carry out this huge homecoming. Won't be a cakewalk, though. That's hinted at when the Father gives his Son the thumbs up, the data boy. When he says, "You are my beloved Son, I'm well pleased with you." Now that word, beloved, is saturating, soaked with suffering, substitute, sacrifice. How do we know this? Well, I think you actually know. Remember when God commanded, Abraham to kill his only son, Isaac. When he commanded him to kill his only son, Isaac, he coined Isaac Abraham's beloved. Now, of course, Isaac was spared, right? He was spared. A ram caught in the thorns was his substitute. The Father, though, would not spare his only son, his beloved. No such luxury. Jesus would be crowned with thorns, and he would take the place for everyone at Calvary so that everyone could have a place in God's family. No surprise, then, that the Father dotes over his Son. "I'm well pleased with you." The Father isn't just pleased with who Jesus is, but also what he would go and do. He approves of his work. My fellow GLCers, when was the last time someone actually told you, "Good job, well done"? When was that last time? Maybe it was recently. PTL, praise the Lord. But that's not really the norm in our culture. Instead of words of acceptance and approval, we so often get those vociferous voices of constant criticism that defeat and deflate us. The criticism, now I don't want to have anyone here talk to me after church about this, okay? So there is good criticism. I totally get that. I'm not talking about good criticism, okay? Criticism, there is a place for it. The criticism I'm talking about, though, is the negative criticism. The criticism that aims to beleaguer and belittle. The criticism that aims to tear down and trash other people. That's the criticism I'm talking about. And there is no short supply of that kind of criticism in our families and friends, among our coworkers and fellow students, and even here at GLC. We know this criticism well. We have all participated in it. Maybe even today. Oh, really? You're going to wear that out to Dindin? Really? What was going through your mind, your head, when you said those words? When did you think that was actually going to be a good idea? How could you let that happen? Hey, where's the common sense, man? Come on! I thought everyone knew about that. Is this all you got done today, really? Oh, sure, you had some interruptions, but really? Is all you got done? Well, that's not how I would have done it. Now, we're familiar with that criticism. We are. If people aren't firing criticism at us, though, we're pretty good at shooting, firing the criticism at the person in the mirror. We know that criticism too, don't we? I am not a good fill-in-the-blank. Or I am a bad fill-in-the-blank. I'm a bad parent. I'm a bad spouse. I'm a bad coworker. I'm a bad boss. I'm a bad citizen. I'm a bad neighbor. I'm not as handsome or as pretty or as popular or as successful or as rich as so-and-so. Everyone seems to have it all together but me. I can't seem to get my ducks in a row. My life is a hot mess. My prayer life just stinks. I keep struggling with the same sins. I'm such a bad Christian. We can often be our own worst enemies when it comes to criticism, right? I mean, it's true for me. I'm speaking for myself here, folks. I think you can agree. We can be our own worst enemy. Criticism abounds, not just around us, but also inside of us. How is that going for you? How is that criticism going for you? Is it beating you down? Is it making you feel like you're not enough? Is it disheartening and discouraging? Are you just ready to throw in the towel, raise the white flag, and just, give up? Don't do that. I'm here to tell you this morning there's good news. There is a voice, dear friends, a voice that is all for you and all for me, a voice of affirmation and approval and acceptance. The Father is pleased with His Son because Jesus is baptized to suffer the Father's silence, which we deserve, so that we now get the Father's voice of approval without reserve. Jesus' baptism doesn't mean life for Him, but means D-E-A-T-H, death. There in the Jordan River waters, Jesus stands in solidarity with sinners. More than that, all that kicks us out and keeps us out of the Father's house, all that is deplorable and damnable in us, all that puts us at odds with God, making us His enemies, all the reason to write us off and let us get roasted, Jesus washes onto Himself. There in the Jordan River waters, Jesus becomes capital S-I-N sin. He becomes your sin and mine. And then he runs off to Calvary, right to the cross, to pull off what our OT Old Testament reading describes. Isaiah 43:3. For I am the Lord your God, the Holy One of Israel, your Savior. I give Egypt as your ransom, Cush and Seba in exchange for you. Now, originally, this referred to the Babylonian blood that the Lord would spill to set his people free and bring them back home to Jerusalem. But our God has a bigger and better homecoming in mind that would include all people and this entire creation. And so Jesus sets that homecoming into motion on a hill called Calvary. Yes, there, high and lifted up, Jesus spills his blood to purchase and win for us our one-way ticket back home, back to the Father's house, his mansion, his palace. And also there on the cross, he suffers the silent treatment, the Father's silent treatment, so that we don't have to. Yeah. The Father gives his Son the cold shoulder. That's what we deserve. See what our Lord is doing? He's doing a sweet swap, happy trade, joyous exchange. He takes our place so that we now get his place. He gets our just desserts so that we now get his sweet desserts. The sweet desserts described for us in the gospel reading. Now, our Lord, he didn't need any of these goodies. The open heaven, the spirit dove, the voice. He had all of that already from eternity. The Lord gets those things in his baptism so that he could give us those goodies in our baptism. So, let's go swim with Jesus. That's right, even on this cold morning. Especially on this chilly Sunday. Get into the waters with Jesus once again and let the Father's voice drown out all the defeating and deflating voices. You are his beloved child. He's well pleased with you. Or as he says it, you are my beloved child. I'm well pleased with you. Now, does anyone here know what follows in the Gospel of Luke, the baptism of our Lord? Does anyone? Kind of a surprise, not really what you would expect. Seems like a last-second addition. The genealogy of our Lord. You would expect that like at the beginning, like in Matthew's Gospel, but not in Luke's Gospel. He puts it right after the baptism of our Lord. And there's a purpose to that. Jesus' baptism and his family tree go together like, well, beer and brats, PB&J, mac and cheese. As we will sing in a few moments during our distribution, the gifts flow from the font where he calls us his own, new life he gives that makes us his and his alone. Lots of gifts, dear friends, in the font. And one of those gifts, adoption, baby. We are adopted. We are brought into a whole new family, God's family. We come out of the waters of holy baptism and become a new branch in JC's family tree. We walk wet as the sons and daughters of the Most High. And so the words in our OT reading apply to you and to me personally. These words that I would not be surprised are confirmation verses for some of you. Fear not, for I have redeemed you. I have called you by name. You are mine. With three splashes of promise, your life and mine changes. Amazingly, splendidly, salvationally. The Father turns toward us and he says, you are my beloved child. I'm well pleased with you. I'm tickled with you, delighted in you. I will dote over you now all the days of your life. Thanks be to God for that. This voice from the Father, he will never stop speaking those words in our ears. Good thing. Because the criticism, the voices of criticism are going to keep coming at us. This side of heaven, outside us, inside us, and contained in each piece of criticism is a name, a label that's trying to define you and define me. Names like dummy, disappointed, disappointment, letdown, loser, faker, failure, messed up, mistake. Those words, those names, those labels do not define us anymore. We get to renounce them. Those labels, those names come from, well, Satan anyway, the father of lies. In our baptism, Satan, along with all of his works and all of his ways, were renounced. Now, for most of us, sponsors spoke those words for us, right? But at our confirmation, we got to stand up, spit in the devil's face, and renounce him. Don't stop renouncing the devil. As we get out of bed, take our shower, put on our clothes, let's deny, defy, decry the demons and all those criticisms that try to put these bad, mean labels on us, saying, I renounce everything and everyone that makes me feel unwelcomed and unwanted. I take to heart a voice, my Father's voice, the voice that says, he's pleased with me, he dotes over me, he delights in me, that I am his beloved. That's the voice I cling to. Dear friends, let that voice from the Father just wash over you day in and day out. He's pleased with you. He is. More than that, he approves of what you do. The Father is not just pleased with us, but also pleased with the work we do, which we learn from the Ten Commandments, as we use them as our pleasure audit. Our pleasure audit. See, we're going to do lots and lots of stuff in our lives and not get any recognition from our family, friends, co-workers, fellow students, bosses, neighbors, parishioners, pastor. I'm not saying that's right, but it's the truth, right? We are more quick to criticize than to compliment, and I think we all need to work on that. We do. We absolutely do. Me included. But there is someone who pats you on the back. There is someone who sees all of your work and values it. There is someone who gives you his stamp of approval. That someone, of course, is the capital S someone, God or Heavenly Father. He is so pleased with your work in home, in the church, in this world. We know this because of the Ten Commandments. The Ten Commandments spell out plainly the works that are well-pleasing and good and right and true and holy in his eyes, in his presence, in his sight. You know what this means, don't you? We can now use the Ten Commandments as our pleasure audit. When you think no one cares about what you are doing, when you think no one is appreciative, you now have a way to remember that your Heavenly Father does care, that he is appreciative. The Ten Commandments remind us of this over and over and over again. Let me show you. Do you pray for people in your life? The Father is pleased with you. Do you meditate on the Word and the sermon? At devotion, at Bible study, the Father is pleased with you. Do you honor your parents, those set in authority above you, in church, in the government, at work. The Father is pleased with you. Do you care for your family's physical needs and the needs of others in your life? Changing diapers, driving members to appointments, taking food to a sick person, caring for an aging parent. The Father is pleased with you. Do you treasure, honor, love, cherish your spouse? The Father is pleased with you. Do you speak well of everyone and defend those that people are gossiping about? The Father is pleased with you. Are you content with your God-given station in life, your salary, your stuff, your relationship status? The Father is pleased with you. The Father is not calling us to be perfect or successful or sinless. He is calling us to be faithful. Exactly what we prayed for in the collect of the day, right? Make all who are baptized in his name faithful in their calling as your children and inheritors with him of everlasting life. What a joy it is that we know what faithfulness looks like. We don't have to, you know, scratch our heads and ask that question, hey, what's going to make God smile? What's going to make him happy with me? The Ten Commandments give us the certainty and the comfort of his pleasure with our work. And he's not stingy with his approval. He's not miserly with his affirmation. He goes out of his way to say, good job! Well done! And that, my friends, is enough. That is everything. So, when the spouse or the boss or the neighbor or the fellow GLCer doesn't recognize your work, you need not fret or fume. You need only to get in the waters with Jesus, take a dip with him, and depend on the Father who delights in you, who delights in the work that you are doing. He says so. You are my beloved child. I am well pleased with you. There is nothing more encouraging than that voice booming over us from womb to tomb into the Father's living room. Now, dear friends, we can go and we can whistle while we work and worship and witness all the way home. Come soon, Lord Jesus. Amen.